We're in the middle of Terehe and Likutei Moran Tanina. Up to the paragraph in our Likutei Morans, it's page 23, Daf Yud Beis in Hebrew. On the left-hand column, the paragraph that begins with the word Ukishen Estaken, which is the middle of paragraph Tesvov. It's one of the paragraphs in the middle of paragraph Tesvov. One of the paragraphs that hopefully we're going to cover tonight is in many ways one of the most outstanding paragraphs in the Likutei Moran. Certain places in this Sefer where Rabbeinu Zal expresses his own personal attitudes towards serving Hashem, etc. We're going to be coming across one of those places tonight, which Rabbeinu Zal is going to teach us the secret to getting to achieve a level of knowledge which the Gemara says even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't zeichet to achieve this. Rabbeinu Zal provides his students with the knowledge of how to be able to achieve that level of knowledge. We're going to talk about that later. Just to review for 30 seconds a little bit of what we had till now that pertains to what we're going to learn now, some of the topics that were covered in this chapter till now were the topic where Rabbeinu Zal spoke about a person's seichel, a person's mayach, and how the advancement of a person's brain is dependent on his purity in Tikkun HaBris. According to how pure a person keeps himself in Tikkun HaBris, that's what determines how well his brain operates, Baruch Nias. And Rabbeinu Zal said, not only will it affect his brain when the brain is working, meaning during the day, but even at night, when the brain pretty much leaves the person in a sense, meaning the neshama leaves the person, as the Zohar HaKadosh says. Every single night when a person goes to sleep, the Gemara says that sleep is considered 1/60th of death, implying that just like death refers to the neshama leaving the body, so too sleep refers to an aspect of the neshama leaving the body. However, Rabbeinu Zal said, just as when a person passes away, the fact that the Gemara tells us that the dead person still feels pain and hears what's being said about him or to him, so too, when a person, meaning because there is a residue in a sense, there is what's known as the kista d'chiyusa, there is a tiny, tiny spark of life that's left with a person, even when he passes away, that allows him to have some of his faculties, even after having passed away. So too, on a greater level, when a person goes to sleep, there is a residue, a remainder of the brain of the neshama that doesn't leave the person, and that affects what kind of dreams the person has at night. And Rabbeinu Zal broke it down in the manner that the Gemara breaks it down into the category of chalayim al yidei malach versus chalayim al yidei shed. A holy dream, a good dream, is referred to as a dream that comes to a person sent by an angel of Kedusha, and Rabbeinu Zal spoke about that at length. A bad dream refers to a dream that comes to a person via Shed, Rachmona Litzlan, which is a type of angel. It's not really an angel, it's something in between an angel and a human being that generally has a bad connotation. And Rabbeinu Zal said that these items also, the kind of dreams that a person has, are also related to the union of Tikkun HaBris, because we know that one of the most outstanding forms of Chilul HaBris takes place at night. A person has, chas v'shalom, a nikra, an accident, that type of accident at night, which is one of the worst forms of Pigam HaBris, Rachmona Litzlan. And that's also related to this topic of how pure a person keeps his mind during the day, and the dreams of the person, and also related to what the person eats. Rabbeinu Zal spend some time talking about how what a person eats also affects the dreams. We spoke about that all at length previously. Now we're going to discuss one or two additional items that are tied into what we had till now. Rabbeinu Zal says, the last item that we discussed was how it's possible when a Rebbe gets together with his Talmidim in a yeshiva, how they accomplish and achieve all the tikkunim, all the accomplishments that we spoke about till now in this chapter on the Likutei Moran, a tikkun for the Emunah and tikkun HaBris and all the Eitzos and all the different things we spoke about, how they're accomplished within a Rebbe teaching his students in a yeshiva. And now Rabbeinu Zal is continuing from where we left off. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Ukishin estakein hamoyach." When a person is zeichet to perfect his brain, here he's pretty much continuing from what we spoke about till now. That by the act of a Rebbe teaching his students, number one, this helps the Rebbe to purify and perfect his own brain, and naturally the students, by the Torah they're taught by their rabbi, also have their brains perfected. Rabbeinu Zal says now, Ukishin estakein hamoyach, when the moyach is fixed up, bebechinas meisha, in the category of meisha, bechinas tefillin kanal. Now note, at this point, we're using the word Moshe as synonymous with brain, because we had spoken earlier in this chapter on the Likutei Moran, we said that Moshe Rabbeinu represents the brain of the Jewish people. He was the one who taught, who imbued all the knowledge into Bnei Israel. So if we were to symbolize the Jewish nation as an organism, the brain is Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the Das of Klal Yisrael. So we use the term Moshe as synonymous with Seichel. Also, you'll note that the word Moshe, the Shin, stands for the Gimel Moichim, the three parts of the brain, corresponding to the three heads of the Shin. The Mem He, the letters Mem He, are Bigimatria Odom, which also stands for Sechel. Rabbi Nazar brings in a different chapter on the Likutei Moran that the Sechel is represented by the letters Yud K of Hashem's name. In Hashem's name, just to go off on a tangent for a second, for those that will understand this, the letters Yud K of Hashem's name correspond to the spheroids of Chochmah and Bina, which refer to the brain, Kaviyachal, the brain, the Meichen of Hashem, Kaviyachal. Those two letters, Yud K, correspond to the three parts of the brain. Just like in biology, we study the cerebrum, the cerebellum, and the medulla. Lahavdil in Kiddusha, there is Chochmah, Bina, and Das, or Keser, Chochmah, and Bina, also a concept of three divisions of the brain, three concepts of brain. So the Arizal brings that three times Yud-Kei is Bigimatria Odom. Three times Yud-K, and this is why we refer to man as Adam, because that which distinguishes man from animals, Lavel, is supposed to be the brain, period. That's where the main distinction between humans and animals is supposed to be. Therefore, the word Adam itself is representative of this concept of brains, the three times Yud-K, which are the letters of Hashem, which correspond to the brain. So now Rabbi Nazal says, "Ukshenestakin hamoyach bechinas Moshe, bechinas tefillin kanal." When the brain, which is represented by Moshe Rabbeinu, which is associated with the concept of tefillin, when all of that gets fixed, azai gam bebechinas histalkus Moshe. Then, even when Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, meaning dahainu kishenestalkin hamoichin, meaning even when the brain leaves the person to an extent, meaning when the person goes to sleep, azai gam horishimo shenishar, then the residue that's left over, shehi bechinas shena, which is a concept of what takes place when a person is sleeping, any thinking that goes on while a person is sleeping is from this residue of what was in the brain during the day, he toivo gam kein ma'oid, that thinking is also very, very, very good. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Koheles, Mesuko Shnas Ho'eved. The sleep of one who works hard is very sweet. One who works throughout the day, when he goes to sleep, his sleep is a peaceful one. Whereas a person who's lazy, he's wealthy and lazes around, he doesn't really enjoy his sleep because he's got nothing to sleep off. In other words, he tosses up much more in his sleep. His sleep is much less deep because of the fact that he's not resting from any heavy labor. That's Alpi Pshat. Rabbi Nizal says here that the Pasuk says, Misuko Shnas Ha'eved, that one who works, meaning who works during the day to try to come close to Hashem, to study Torah, to improve his brain a lot, such a person, even when he goes to sleep, there's a sweetness to it, meaning there's a holiness to it. And Rabbi Nizal says, the first letters of the words Misuko Shnas Ha'eved, Roshei Tevois Moshe. The first letters of that sentence make up the word Moshe, implying Rabbi Nizal says, at time, the brain of the Rebbe leaves him. We don't mean in a literal sense, but we mean a certain fullness of his brain, a certain fullness of his spiritual faculties leaves him. He loses some of his power, his brain power. And so too by the students. This is a rule that's brought many times in the Sifrei Kabbalah, that within the brain, it's not status quo throughout the day. The brain is constantly undergoing changes throughout the day, meaning there are times when a person's brain is functioning well, when he's in a happy frame of mind, depressed, or a sad frame of mind, Rahman al-Islam, and happier or sadder. And if we put a meter on this and gauge it, it's constantly changing throughout the day. So too, in terms of Kiddusha, the amount of holiness that a person has is in the brain throughout the day,
way is not consistent. At a time that a person says Kriya Shema in the morning at Shacharis, the Arizal says, that's a time when a person receives the Meichim. There are certain other places in the davening where a person specifically removes his Meichim. Consciously, he gets rid of the Meichim for different reasons. That's a whole deep topic on itself. But Rabbi Nassal says here, the fact is that it's not status quo when it comes to the Meichim. There are times when they're there, there are times when they leave. And Rabbi Nassal says, Ubishas ha-histalkos, and when the Meichim leaves, when this holiness of the mind leaves to an extent, Azayhu bechinas histalkos Moshe, shehu hadas, then we could refer to that. Another way of referring to it would be the leaving of Moshe Rabbeinu, the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu, because we said that the brain and Moshe Rabbeinu we're sort of using now as synonymous. So a concept of a person's Meichen leaving him is a concept of the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bechinas Shena, concept of sleep. Va'al yedei tikkun ha-Meichen, al yedei ha-yeshiva kanal. And when the Meichen of the Rebbe and his students are developed properly and fixed up properly through this process of a yeshiva, which we spoke about in the previous paragraph, azai, then, gam b'shas ha-histalkus hadas, then, even at the time that the Rebbe or student's brain leaves them to an extent, shehu b'chinas histalkus Moshe, which is a concept of the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu, b'chinas sheino, a concept of sleep, azai, gam b'chinas ha-sheino, mesuka v'toivo. The sleep is also categorized as sweet and good, meaning it's not a total loss. It's not as if the Kedusha leaves completely. There definitely remains a solid unit of Kedusha. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk said in Kehelis, mesuka shnas hoiveid. Sweet is the sleep of a worker, meaning one who conducts himself properly when he is working, when he is awake. Because through a person developing his meichin, his brain, his spiritual brain properly, to bring it into the category of Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents purity of mind, that will also ensure a proper type of sleep, which the Gemara in Brachos refers to as one who receives his dreams from holy angels. This is the meaning of the pasuk when the pasuk says over there in Kehelis, sweet is the sleep of one who works. Misuko daiko. Rabbi Nazal says, observe, note the specific adjective that's used. It doesn't say good, it doesn't say toiv, it says misuko. Misuko means sweet. Misuko is a term that's used specifically related to tikkun abris and pigam abris. Rabbi Nazal says, bechinas mayin misukin, bechinas tikkun abris, shehu bechinas mayin misukin. Kemuva b'likutei harishon b'simen chof. Hepech pigam abris, shehu bechinas mayim meririn, shehu bechinas pigam tuman al chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nizal in chapter Chof, chapter 20, in the first half of Likudei Moran, Rabbi Nizal there quotes the Zohar Kodesh, which refers to a person who has tikkun abris, a person who conducts himself properly in tikkun abris, as the sweet waters. It's called mayim mesikin. By him, the zera that comes from him is referred to as mayim mesikin. And the Zohar Kodesh proves it from different psukim in the Chumash that this is the way Hashem refers to such a person. A person who conducts himself in purity, the zera, the seed that comes from him, is referred to as a concept of sweet waters, whereas a person who chas v'shalom conducts himself in an illegal manner, in an illicit manner, the zera that comes from him is referred to as mayim meririm, the bitter waters that come from this person. That's the terminology that's used over there. So Rabbi Nizal points out here, note interestingly that what adjective is used here to describe the sleep of a person who's really religious and good, the word misuka is used, showing an association with the concept of tikkun abris here. Aval al yidei tikkun ha-meichin kanal, but Rabbi Nizal says, when a person is zeiche to have his meichin fixed up properly, al yidei zeh ha-sheina mesuka, that will ensure that the person's sleep is sweet, bebechinas mayin mesukin, in this concept of sweet waters, bebechinas tikkun abris kanal, meaning that he conforms with all the statutes of tikkun abris. Vizeh, Rabbi Nizal says, now we understand the second half of that pasuk. That pasuk in Kohelis begins with the words Misuka Shnaso Oyved, sweet is the sleep of one who works diligently, v'im'at v'im'harbe yoichal, whether he eats little or he eats a lot, he still has a satisfaction, the satisfaction of one who knows he earns his own keep, and when he lays down to sleep, he feels like a rich man. In other words, even if he didn't have that much to eat, he feels satisfied in that he earned a legitimate living, and now he's resting up to get energy for the next day of work, to be able to sustain himself. So Rabbein Azal says, Hainush, what does the Pusuk mean when the Pusuk says that his sleep is sweet, regardless of how much he eats? Rabbein Azal says, Hainush, ein mazik loy ho'achilo sha'al yodo bo chas v'shom tuma hanal b'chaloyim b'shena kanal. The Pusuk is implying that one who conducts himself properly in Tikkun HaBris, such a person will not have to worry that what he eats will harm him in any way. Because we had said earlier in this chapter on the Likutei Moran, that there exists a potential, if a person is not pure, that what he eats during the day can cause him to have this type of bad accident at night, Rachmona Litzlan. So Rabbein Azal says that a person who's zeichet to true Tikkun HaBris, he's zeichet to this concept of Mesukosh Na'asoyvei, he achieves a level where regardless of whether he eats a lot or a little, his food will not be able to affect his dreams in any negative way. Because his concept of sleep gets fixed up by him fixing up his brain, by him carrying on with his meichen, bikdusha, and holiness throughout the day. That's what guarantees that his sleep is a sleep of purity, and it can't be tarnished at all by whatever he eats. K'al yidei tikkun hamoichin, because through this tikkun hamoichin, that's affected by a Rebbe with his Talmidim, or that's affected by all the other ways that we discussed in this Torah through tikkun HaBris, gam hashena, even the sleep, shehi b'chinas histalkus hadas, which is represented by a concept of the meichin leaving the person, he gam kein toivo umesuka moid, will also be very, very good and very sweet. And this is why we find many times by big tzaddikim that they were zeichet to have their highest revelations of holiness when they were sleeping at time. The Arizal, other big tzaddikim, how is it? Because they kept their mayach so pure during the day, because they were zeichet to such a level of tikkun HaBris, then even when their mayach left them, meaning when a person lays down to sleep, he closes his eyes, he closes the brain in a sense, even then, just from the residue alone of all the Kiddusha that was built up during the day, not only did it ensure that they didn't have any bad incident at night, any pigam at night, but it also enabled them to achieve very, very high levels of Kiddusha at the time that they closed their eyes. And that's what we're going to be discussing in the next paragraph now. In other words, the question is, this Tikkun HaBris, does it just ensure a person that he won't have anything bad happen to him at night when his das leaves him, that he won't be in a minus state, or does it give him a plus state? That's what we're about to start discussing. Here we come to a very, very significant paragraph in the Likutei Moran that's quoted many, many times in Likutei Halachos. Rabbein Azal says, Ki be'emes tzrichin daiko lesalekis hamoyach. Although you would think, a person would think logically, that it's very good to always have presence of mind. In other words, to always work with your brain, that everything you do throughout the day from A to Z, always have your brain, always think it over thoroughly, and always keep thinking and thinking and thinking. A person would think that that's great. Rabbein Azal says, Ki be'emes tzrichin daiko lesalikas hamayach. A person must specifically put away his brain. He must remove, close down his brain, put aside his thinking. A person has to be able to disregard all of his intellect, all of his wisdom, and be zeichet to serve Hashem with simplicity, with tremendous simplicity. Rabbein Azal is going to bring tremendous support for this statement now from places in the Gemara. There's a Mishnah in Perkei Avos where the Mishnah says that any person whose brains exceed his deeds, such a person will not succeed in religion. Whereas any person whose deeds exceed his brains, such a person will succeed in religion. Now the question is, if we picture 10 units of brains and 10 units of deeds, let's say, if there's more brains than deeds, if there's 15 units of brains and 10 units of deeds, meaning there's some brains which doesn't have deeds attached to it, then we say that the Mishnah says, not Likutei Moran, the Mishnah says that's a problem. Whereas, if a person has 15 units of deeds, of mice and teivim, of mitzvahs, and 10 units of brains, the Mishnah says such a person will succeed. What does that imply? That's implying, the Mishnah doesn't say throw away your brain always, but the Mishnah implies that at certain times there are certain deeds which a person does where he has to put his brain aside completely. Those deeds have to be done, in a sense, without brains, without deep thinking, as simple as possible. And the simpler it's done, the better it's going to be. What is that referring to? We'll get to that soon. But for now, Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Mishnah, which says, "Ki tzorech sheyiu ma'asof merubim echochmasai." The Mishnah recommends that a person has to see to it that his deeds should exceed his wisdom, his intellect. V'loy hamedresh hu haikor elo hamaisa. And the Gemara also says that learning is not the main goal in life; it's good deeds that are, which is considered a higher level. The Mishnah, the Gemara says, "V'loy hamedresh hu haikor elo hamaisa." That ma'isa is the ikor, the tachlis, the tachlis of the study of Torah, the climax of a person studying Torah in life is not more Torah, it's mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. The climax of studying Torah is to be zeicha, to actually carry out good deeds using the Torah that you've studied. The Alkein, therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, tzrichen l'salek kol hachochmos. A person has to be capable of putting aside all of his intellect, all of his thinking. V'lavoides Hashem b'pshitus, and to be able to serve Hashem with simplicity, b'li shum chochmos, without any thinking whatsoever. Super, super simple. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains, loy mi boy chochmai shel shtus shel stam b'nei adam. We're not even talking about all the silly thoughts that go through regular people's minds in a day, all their calculating and figuring, nonsensical figuring and calculating and playing games with themselves, mental games. We're not talking about that. Not only that, should a person knock out of his head when he's serving Hashem, ela afilu chochmos gemurois, even real wisdoms, the wisdom of Torah, the wisdom of Medrash, the wisdom of Shulchan Aruch, the wisdom of Kabbalah, afilu mishiyesh loy moyach godoil beemes, even a person who has a very, very great brain, kishimaki aleza avoida, when he wants to do an avoida. Now the term avoida, what does the Gemara say in the beginning of Tainus? What is the word avoida usually referred to? Tfilah. The Gemara quotes the pasuk which we say in Kriyashma, Ula avdoi b'chol levavchem, ezehu avoida shebaleiv. What is called serving Hashem with your heart? Heviyomer zu tfilah. And we find it also in a Mishnah at the beginning of the Perkei Avos, where the Mishnah says that the world stands on three things: al Torah, ala Torah, Valho Avoida, Valakmilus Hasodim. What does Avoida over there refer to? Avoida means the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash. We don't have that today. What's the replacement for the Avoida? The Tefillah. Tefillah is Keneged Tmidim Tiknum. So the word Avoida generally refers to Tefillah. Rabbeinu Zal says here, Afilu Mishesh Loi Moyach Godol Be'emes, even a person who has a very great brain, Kishimagi Aleiz Avoida, when he wants to do an Avoida, for example, we're not only limiting this to tefillah. Tefillah is an example of it. Or, for example, tzedakah. A person wants to give tzedakah or certain other things, a mitzvah that requires simplicity. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Hu tzorich lahashlich kol hachochmos." A person has to be able to put aside, to remove, to eliminate completely all of his intellect, v'lasoik ba'avoidosoy yisporach b'pshitus, and to labor in serving Hashem with simplicity, with the utmost of simplicity, v'tzorich afilu lehisnaig v'lasoy zdvorim shenire kemishuga b'shvil avoidos Hashem. And a person has to be able to do certain items which look crazy for the sake of serving Hashem. Now note, Rabbeinu Zal is not giving a license here for Mishigoyim. Rabbeinu Zal isn't extending a smicha here for Mishigoyim to say that he accepts them all as his closest students. Rabbeinu Zal is saying, at times, there is a need for a person to be able to serve Hashem with such simplicity that people in the world who are normally used to a person thinking out everything he does before he makes a move and calculating, they would look at such a person and say, "What are you doing? You're a nut. You're stupid. You're crazy. You don't think before you do this." In other words, you're willing to give stuff. Do you understand why you're supposed to give charity? In other words, if Hashem made this person poor, Why are you fixing it? Do you understand everything about what you're doing? Why do you do it? And a person has to be capable at times to display an attitude. We just had it in this past week's parsha of Naaseh V'Nishma. When the Jews first received the Torah from Hashem on Har Sinai, what statement of theirs merited them worthy of receiving the Torah and receiving two crowns on their heads? The Gemara says Hashem sent millions of malachim down from heaven to place two crowns, 1,200,000 angels to place two crowns on the head of each one of the 600,000 Jews. Why? Because they said, Naaseh V'Nishma, we will do and then we will understand. What does that imply? That at the time that I'm doing, I don't understand. My brain is not at 100. My brain is at 50, or my brain is at 0. And I'm still doing. That's my faith in Hashem. That's my faith in the tzaddikim, emunas chachamim. That if I'm told to do something in a certain way, there's no problem if I don't understand it. That's not a problem. That doesn't become a difficult situation. How can I do it if I don't understand it? We say this every morning when we put on tefillin. The tefillin, which is the ikar moichim, we extend the warning to ourselves. Ve'erastichli be'emuna. That when a person wants to come close to Hashem, how does he do it? It's a two-step procedure. Phase one is emunah, faith, which requires no brains, which requires putting aside your brain, doing things simply because you believe. And once you accept Hashem in that manner, Hashem says, then I give you a present, I will allow you to understand as much as you possibly can. Whereas if a person opts to first try to understand before he does, such a person will never be zeicha to achieve a true understanding in religion. So Rabbi Nizal says now, v'tzorech afilu lehisnaheg v'laseiz dvorim shenirek kemishuga b'shvil avodas Hashem. There are times where a person has to conduct himself in such a manner and perform certain acts which look stupid to whom? To the so-called normal world. What do we call stupid? What do we call nuts? Different. That which is different from the norm, from what's accepted by people in many ways. So Rabbi Nizal says, Bebechinas, as the pasuk. Now the question is, which Chassidish Rebbe goes and gives this kind of talks this way? Where did he get this nonsense, inventing this new religion called Mishigas? Rabbi Nizal says, this isn't my own teachings. This is based on a pasuk in Mishlei. Mishlei, the whole sefer, which was written by whom? By the most intelligent person that ever walked this earth, Shlomo HaMelech, who's called Chacham Ma'ayit Mikol Hodom Asher Al Pnei Adama. Shlomo HaMelech writes in the Sefer Mishlei, Be'ahavaso Tishge Tomid, that in your love for the Torah, in your love for Hashem, you will be crazy constantly. You will constantly be able to be crazy with love for Hashem. And if you look in Rashi HaKodesh over there, if you look in the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Daled, the Gemara says this concept where a person at times has to be willing to act in a manner which people would call crazy. What do you mean? You take 10% of your money and you give it away to charity? You yourself are poor. Charity begins at home. All the different things that people try to influence a person against the mitzvahs of the Torah, where they apply this term crazy to the ones that are religious, the ones that do have a spite of this. You go into a room and talk to the walls or talk to the trees. All of this deep, deep thinking that all of these people do, whereby according to them, those that are really religious are categorized as being crazy. There's a pasuk about that. Don't think that Hashem didn't know that there would come such a time. Don't think that Shlomo HaMelech wasn't conscious of this. And Shlomo HaMelech said that at times, for a Jew to be able to be religious, he has to be able to accept upon himself this title of Meshugana. You're acting like a Meshugana. But note again, this requires a Rebbe. A person has to learn a tremendous amount to get to know which type of Meshuga is not acceptable. Because don't forget, the Gemara begins Mesechta Saita. The Gemara says, La'ilam ein odam chaytei, ela im kei nichnas boi ruach shtus. That a Jew never commits a sin before coming crazy. First he loses part of his brain, he gives away a piece of his brain, then he goes ahead and commits the sin. Because if a person possessed his full faculties, which person would be nuts enough to do a sin? If you actually saw this big, big, big Hashem standing in front of you with a butcher knife bigger than anything you ever saw before, and he's in a position to do away with you in less than an eighth of a second, and he said, Sonny, I'd appreciate it if you don't eat this piece of meat, which person would do it? Or he'd say, I'd appreciate it if you sit down and learn rather than watching television or something else. Which person would not do it? Elamai, the Gemara says, what happens is a person becomes crazy, literally. He loses his full faculties. He's working with 80% or 0%, or some people move into negative numbers, minus 80%, and that's what allows him to commit a sin. So we see that on one hand, the word meshuga is the description of a rasha, a person who commits sins. And on the other hand, a tzaddik, the same word, we find the same word being used about tzaddikim. The Gemara says that when the Nevi'im used to receive a prophecy from Hashem, they would look like they were in a trance. They would look as though, in a sense, they were crazy. And that was a sign of a super, super high level of Kiddusha. Whereas other people, Rahman al-Islam, when they look crazy, you know that they're ready for the jackets, those funny-looking jackets. So Rabbein Azal says now, Shebishvil avas Hashem, out of love for Hashem, tzrichen lasois dvorim hanirim kishigoyim. A person has to be capable, out of tremendous love for Hashem, to be able to do things which at times look like craziness. Kedei lasois mitzvoisov, in order to do the mitzvois of Hashem, uritzoino yisborach, and in order to fulfill the desire of Hashem. Rabbein Azal explains now, Kitzrichen lehizgalgel bechol mine refesh votit bishvil avoidas avoidos Hashem umitzvois of Yisborach. A person has to be willing to roll in all types of mud and filth in order to serve Hashem and perform his mitzvois. V'lav dafkon mitzvah mamish. Now note, we're not restricting this, we're not limiting this to an actual mitzvah. We're not saying that this is only in technical situation where in order to fulfill the mitzvah of going into a sukkah, you first have to swim through a mud pie to get into the sukkah, that you're required to do it for the kavod of Hashem. Not just that, but elo kol dovor sheyesh boi rotzoin Hashem yisborach nikra mitzvah. The fact is, Rabbein Zal says, that any item whatsoever that Hashem would want a person to do, we can certainly label that as mitzvah, a concept of mitzvah, a command of Hashem, something that would please Hashem. Rabbein Azal says, Ki yesh taryag mitzvois. There are basically 613 mitzvois, commandments. Ve'elo ataryag mitzvois, these 613 mitzvois, yesh lohem anofim rabim. They have many, many extensions, many, many branches that come from them. V'chol dovar sheyesh boi rotzayn Hashem yisborach, any item that has in it the desire of Hashem, meaning, she'oisin boi nachas lovim shebashamayim, whereby a person doing this act, he's giving a nachas, he's giving a satisfaction to Hashem, hu bechinas mitzvah. That item is definitely to be classified as a mitzvah. V'tzorich legalgel atzmoi bechol minei refesh votit, and a person has to be willing to roll himself in every single type of mud and filth, kedei lasois eze rotzoin venachas l'Hashem yisborach, to be able to give Hashem a nachas, to be able to give any aspect of satisfaction to Hashem. Now note, what does this mean? Each person would say, in other words, okay, I'll be looking, searching the streets now to find mud to roll in. The answer is, what is this concept of mud, to muddy yourself for serving Hashem? When a person becomes muddy, what's the main problem? Embarrassment. In other words, he looks and smells disgusting, and people look at him, they don't want to look at him, they don't want to go near him, because he's revolting. Rabbein Azal saying that at times, for a person to be able to serve Hashem, he has to be willing to roll himself in this mud, he has to be able to go through embarrassment, insult, whereby people mock him, people, the goyim, lahavdol, mock the yarmulke. That's part of what a Jew, every single Jew, goes through in order to perform a nachas to Hashem, give Hashem a satisfaction. To this willingness to roll in mud, this is another a concept of rolling in mud. Rolling in mud means dirtying yourself, where they hurl epithets at you, they mock you, they jeer in a low, insulting way. Rolling in mud means when a person wants to come close to a Rebbe, and the Gemara says that the attitude that a Rebbe is supposed to show to students is zroik mora. He has to shoot bitterness into them, fire. He has to reprimand them at times. He has to insult them at times. And if if a student really wants to come close to Hashem, he has to be willing to accept that the right way. He has to be willing to roll in mud. Picture, in other words, a person throws you down the mud. The first thing you want to do is pick him up and kill him. Why? Because it's embarrassing. If you fell into mud and there's nobody around, 90% of the problem isn't there. You simply go home, take a bath and shower, you can get rid of it. The whole difficulty, the whole problem with rolling in mud is if other people are watching you. That's what makes it so difficult. It's the embarrassment in front of other people. And a person, in order to really serve Hashem properly, has to be able to accept upon himself this embarrassment in all different forms in order to give a slight satisfaction to Hashem. If that's what it takes to give 1/1,000,000,000th of an iota of satisfaction to Hashem, it's worth it. Person has to be able to say, it was worth it for me to get this washed down. If it'll make Hashem a drop happier, if this will give an iota of satisfaction to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal says, Va'azai, and then, when a person develops such a powerful love for Hashem, to the point where he's able to put aside all of his intellect, and he throws himself into mud and filth for the sake of serving Hashem, in order to give Hashem satisfaction, there's nothing that will do more for a person's brain than this type of putting your brain aside, where a person is able to put aside his brain. Because note, a dope, when he falls into mud, he doesn't get insulted. The more intelligent a person is, the more intellectual type of person is, you take a peach and squish it into his shirt or something like that. Take a doctor or a surgeon, walk over to him and take some mud or some mush and, you know, put it all over his jacket or something. You'll see how nervous he'll get. You'll see how upset he'll get. Why? Because according to the level of chachma that a person has, according to how what level of intellectual type he is, the more embarrassment there is. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, I believe it is, that when it comes to busha, hakoy lefi hamevayesh v'hamisbayesh, that many items, if a person inflicts damage, if a person inflicts bodily damage on another person, there are certain items, let's say he causes him to stay out of work, regardless of how smart he is, or the staying out of work has a price. A normal person who's out of work for 2-3 days loses $200. You have to pay him that price. But the Gemara says when you do something to hurt a person whereby you bring upon him embarrassment, embarrassment is rated differently for every single person. It depends who's being embarrassed and who's doing the embarrassment. Meaning, if a dog comes over to a person and starts, in other words, if a very, very low type of person comes over to him and starts insulting him, calling him names, in a way you laugh at that. Everybody knows he's a nutcase, period. So what he says doesn't matter as much as having an intelligent person, a regular type person comes over and insults you, it has much more of effect. At the same time, the one who's being embarrassed, according if he's a zhlub, a slob, and that type, and somebody goes over to him and says, you're a zhlub, he's not going to feel insulted. That's his regular name. That's common for him, that's normal for him, versus a person who's used to carrying himself in a very intellectual way, in a very neat and that type of way, and such a person is insulted or embarrassed, he's going to take it much more to heart. So Rabbeinu Zal says now that that this act of putting aside one's intellect and being able to roll in the mud for the sake of Hashem, this benefits a person's brain tremendously. Why? Because if a person does this, Hashem gives the person a gift whereby that person is zoche to understand that which is above the brain, meaning mashegam meishe bechayov loyhisig. That Jew will be zoche to achieve in wisdom that which even Moshe Rabbeinu during his lifetime could not achieve. Now note, we said before that Moshe Rabbeinu represents the brain, the seichel. Moshe Rabbeinu during his lifetime represents the brain when it's regular. Moshe Rabbeinu after his passing represents the concept of sleep, the concept of Histalkus Hadas. Rabbeinu Zal says that when a Jew is willing to serve Hashem in this type of manner, to accept this rolling in the mud for the sake of Hashem, Hashem will give him something that's above the brain, above that which Moshe Rabbeinu was zeche to achieve during his lifetime. What is that? Is there any type of wisdom that Moshe Rabbeinu did not achieve during his lifetime? The answer is yes. The Gemara in Brachas tells us, "Hainu bechinas tzadik v'raloi rosho v'toivloi." The Gemara tells us in Brachas that there was one item that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for tremendously to be zeicher to get to understand, and he was not zeicher to achieve this during his lifetime. What was that? To be able to understand why there exists a situation where there are people who are very righteous, who go through tremendous suffering, and there are people who are very bad, and they live a happy, pleasant life. That's called tzaddik v'raloi, rosho v'toivloi. And that wisdom, the wisdom of being able to understand this in its fullest, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, was not zeicha to get to understand this during his lifetime. Shezeh bechinas ivus hamishpot. This is a concept of a mistake in judgment, it seems. In other words, it seems like there's something wrong here. Why should this one get this and this one this? Rabbeinu Zal says, it looks almost as though this were chas v'shalom, a mistaken judgment on the part of Hashem. Why he's letting this one have a good time, and this one who's so good is going through so much suffering. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, during his lifetime, was not zeicher to get to understand this. Hainu, Rabbeinu Zal says, what does that mean when we say Moshe Rabbeinu during his lifetime did not get to understand this? Rabbeinu Zal says, Hainu, this means gam kishehamoyach bishleimus ve'einoy nistalek, when a person's intellect is in its total form, it's at its fullest, and it has not left to any degree, sheze bechinas Moshe bechayov, that corresponds with the terminology of Moshe Rabbeinu when he is alive. Those two things we're using interchangeably. We said before that the leaving of the brain as occurs during sleep, that's a concept of the passing away of Moshe Rabbeinu, which means that v'kiyum hamoichin be'eis shehamoichin kayomim ve'enom nistalkin, that the maintenance of the brain when the brain does not leave to any extent and the brain is in its full faculties, ze bechinas Moshe b'chayov, that's referred to in the Gemara as Moshe Rabbeinu when he was alive. That's the terminology that we're using. So Rabbeinu Zal says that when the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu during his lifetime was not able to achieve this, this implies that a person with his full faculties could not achieve this wisdom of Tzadik V'raloi Roshe V'toivloi, whereas even then, when his brain is intact and at its fullest, he cannot get to understand this. To be able to understand why there are tzaddikim who suffer a lot and rishonim who have a good time, that cannot be understood even when a person's brain is in its full faculties. But when a person is zeicher to develop such a love for Hashem, to the extent where shemashlich umegalgel atzmoi berefesh votit bishvil avoidosi isporach, to the extent where he's willing to throw himself into mud, he's willing to do the lowest form of labor for the sake of serving Hashem, something which other people would say this is so menial, I wouldn't do this for anybody. But for you, I would do it. For Hashem, I would do anything. And this person performs deeds like a servant. He actually works like a servant. In other words, a rich person who owns servants, there are certain things that the servants do which no regular resident in the house would dream of doing. Washing the dishes, scrubbing out the bathroom. It wouldn't occur to them that what, because they have servants that do this. But when a person is zeicher to achieve such a level of love for Hashem, whereby he's able to do the most menial, the lowest kind of labor for the sake of serving Hashem, to act literally like a slave, like a servant, azai zeiche lahasig gam ma shebechinas Moshe b'chayo, then he zeiche to achieve even that which Moshe Rabbeinu when he was alive, dahainu be'es kiyum hamoichin, meaning that which when his brain is at its fullest, ein yecholim lahasig, cannot achieve. Dahainu tzadik v'raloi, roshe v'toivloi. This concept of tzadik v'raloi, roshe v'toivloi. So Rabbeinu Zal is saying that there exists a potential within a Jew who is zeicher to develop such a love for Hashem, where his love for Hashem is so fantastic that he wouldn't consider anything too low for him to do for the sake of Hashem. He wouldn't consider anything too insulting or too embarrassing. If the whole world, like by Avraham Avinu, the Gemara says the whole world called him a nutcase. Everybody, in other words, literally, they put a fence around him rather than the way it should be, where, as Rabbi Yechaim Zecher Tzadik Levracha used to say many times, this world, the most appropriate thing to do for this world would be to put up a big fence around the whole thing and put up a sign on the fence, Crazy House. That would be appropriate. In the time of Avraham Avinu, they did just the opposite. They put a fence around him, the only normal person in the generation, the only one who recognized Hashem. They called him Ivri, they called him from the other side, the nutcase, and they assumed themselves to be normal. Rabbi Nizal says that when a person is willing to go that far for the sake of serving Hashem, then that act of going so far, putting his brain away completely, and not getting insulted at all, that will allow him to achieve a level of wisdom which he could not achieve when his brain is in its complete, fullest, best faculties, best frame of mind, which the Gemara refers to as the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu Bechayev. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was alive, could not achieve this, but at his passing he did achieve this. That corresponds to the concept of a person with his full mental faculties cannot achieve this, but when he puts his brain away, he can achieve this. Now Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain a little bit further. Rabbi Nizal says, Ki yesh bechinas ben, there is a concept of son, S-O-N. There is a concept of a son to Hashem, a child of Hashem, shehu mechapes bignazia d'malka, who is zeiche, who is permitted to search in the treasury rooms of the king, kemoi ben, as a prince. The Zohar HaKadosh says that a Jew, by becoming religious and coming close to Hashem, he can attain the title of prince, actually becoming a son of Hashem, in a sense, Bnei Yisrael, the children of Hashem, whereby that person, we know it, when you have a king who lives in a palace, his regular officers, or certainly his servants, are not allowed into his treasury room to see the gold and silver and all the beautiful things that he has, but his own child, the prince, is given that privilege of going inside and getting to see the storage rooms, the treasury rooms of the king. So too, Rabbi Nizal says, the Zohar HaKadosh says, that by a Jew who is zeichet to achieve the title tzaddik, he is categorized as a ben, as a prince of Hashem, a son of Hashem, and he is given the privilege of being zeichet to go into the treasury rooms in heaven and pick out whatever treasures exist over there that he would want. Rabbi Nizal says, V'yesh b'chinas eved, there is also a concept of a servant of the king, a slave of the king. His job is only to do whatever he's given to do, and he's not permitted to start asking questions or looking for explanations as to why he's being told to do this. He's required to do his thing, whatever his task is, the labor that they've given him to do, period. So there are these two categories, Ben and Eved. Ben and Eved. Note, on Rosh Hashanah, one of the tefillos that we say to Hashem is, Im kibonim, im ka'avodim, im kibonim. That's the wording there. Where we say to Hashem, whether you look at us like children, like your children, or you look at us like your servants, in either case, please have pity on us. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that that refers to, Ben refers to the Olam HaAtzilus, Eved refers to the Olam HaAsiya. In other words, there are secrets over there in what that's referring to specifically. But in any case, we understand that this is the range of levels in closeness to a king. You have his own son who is the closest to him, in many ways closer than even his officials. Because as Rabbi Nizal gives a mushal, you could have a king who's in the middle of a meeting with his highest officials, they're planning the takeover of another country, and they're in deep thought, and the prince comes running in, Daddy, my doll broke. And the king will stop, one second, everybody wait a minute, the king will look, let's see if he can fix it. It'll look like it's almost fixed, he'll give it to his son. No, Daddy, I don't want this one anymore, I want a new one. And the king will send one of the ministers of finance, go get him a doll right now. Go get him a doll, gives him the doll. No, I want a red one. go get him a ring. And this is the closeness, in a sense, the superiority which the prince has, the child of the king has, even over the officials, where he can pull certain things, which if an official of the king, an officer of the king, would run into a room and interrupt the meeting, he would behead him instantly, and his own child can do this. This is the symbolism that Rabbein Azal uses. So we use the term ben as the one who's closest to the king as he possibly could become, and we use the word eved as the one who's the furthest away from the king. In other words, this is one whose job is only, he's given a task, do it. Where, in other words, he does have some association with the king, and the fact that he's also pleasing the king, but he's so remote, he doesn't even understand, he's not even given to understand what he's doing, how his act is pleasing the king. He's on an assembly line. His job is to put in the 85th screw into the 64th hatch, period. And he isn't even told that this is going to form a bomb with which the king is going to take over. Nothing. That's how far away he is from the king. So Rabbein Azal says there are these two levels. However, Rabbein Azal says, Aval Yesh Ben, but there exists a prince, a child of the king, Shehu Oyev Kolkach Es Oviv, who loves his father to such an extent, Ad Shemachmas Ho Ahavo, where out of love for his father, Hu Oise Maase Eved, he's willing to do the work of a slave, Maase Eved Poshut Tzorech Lasois. That which normally they would have a servant do, this prince loves the king so much that let's say there was something, the king is sitting at the table and he wants a glass of wine, and for a second the waiter isn't there. A prince who likes his father would wait until a servant comes, and if a servant doesn't show up fast enough, he'd wait till the king first beheads this servant and then gets another one to bring him, and the king is forced to wait. Whereas if the prince loves the king enough, the king needs something, the second the king needs something, I'm no more prince anymore. I can be anything. He needs a carpet. The carpeting is torn. I can lay down and become the carpet and have him walk over me, use me as an extension. As the Gemara tells us a story of one of the rabbis of the Gemara, Rav Tarfoin, Rebbe Tarfoin, one of the Tanoim, who was able to perform Tchias HaMesim, who could have split the Red Sea or anything like that. The Gemara says his mother once had to walk somewhere and there was a problem on the floor, a situation whereby she couldn't walk. The Gemara says he walked in front of her and put out his hands on the floor for her to step on his hands rather than the floor, so her feet shouldn't get dirty or good shouldn't get harmed in any way. And the Gemara tells other stories of where these Tanoim were willing to lower themselves. Again, rabbis of the Gemara, the biggest tzaddikim, who are willing to go shopping for Shabbos, who are willing to prepare different foods, cooking, which normally they would never dream of doing, because there is a law, we just learned the Shabbos. The Gemara says that a Rav is not permitted to do certain menial labor, so that people shouldn't lose respect for him. If they see him conducting himself in a low way at times, that could lower their respect for him, and in a way this would be lifne'ivir l'sitan mishal. If he causes them to lose respect and they act disrespectful towards him, then he gets blamed for it. And yet, when it came to preparation of Shabbos, the Tanoim said, now I'm no more Tana, I'm no more rabbi, I can be a lady, I can be a maid, I can wash the walls, whatever. Shabbos is the king. Shabbos is Shabbos Malkus, the king or the queen. Out of their love for Hashem, their love for the mitzvah, they were able to lower themselves to the most incredible, to the level of Eved, to do things which normally a servant would do, peel the cucumbers, and they would do it themselves. Rabbein Azal says, so Aval Yesh Ben Shehu Oyev Kol Kach Esoviv Ad Shemachmas Avo Shehu Oyse Maisevet, out of love for his father, he's willing to do the most servile type of act, Ma She'evet Poshut Tzorech Lasa, is that which the simplest servant would normally be doing. V'hoylech V'koyfeitz B'soich HaSeilulus HaGdeila, and this prince goes and jumps into the midst, into the thickest of whatever he has to jump into, the most dirty type of job, he's willing to jump, roll up his sleeves and go ahead and do whatever has to be done. Besayich kishrei hamelchama, to run into the thick of the war, like, in other words, the hardest, most difficult part. Omegalgel atzmoi b'chol minei refesh votit, and he's willing to roll himself in any type of mud or filth, kedei la'aseis nachas ruach la'aviv, to give a satisfaction to his father. Not that his father will be pleased with the fact that his son rolled in the mud. On the contrary, the father will say, how did you do it? You're a prince. You're not supposed to... the fact the father wants his glass of wine, and I brought him his glass of wine. How I got it? The fact that it involved insult to me, that doesn't concern me whatsoever. The I is non-existent. It goes away completely. Rabbi Elazar says, to an extent where this son is willing to do, ma she'afilu evet poshut lo'yhoya oisa avoides ke'elu. This prince is willing to do certain things which even the lowest servant would not be willing to do. You have servants who belong to unions and everything. You ask them to do a certain thing. The answer is, no way, man. My union doesn't... There's no way I'm going to do that. And yet you have a prince who likes the king enough where union and everything junk the king wants this done, no problem. I don't, if it means diving into the bathroom bowl and cleaning it out, no problem. If that's what the king would like done, I have no problem in being the one to do it. The Azai, and then such a prince, Kishe Oviv Roye Ahavosoy Hachazoko Kolkach, when his father sees this incredible love that the prince, that the child has for the father, ad shemashlich atzmoy la'avdus gomor b'shvil ahavosoy, to the point where this child is willing to throw himself into the most menial, servile type of service in order, out of love for his father, azai hu megaleloi gam ma she'enoy nimsar afilu leben. Then the father, the king, reveals to this son even things which a king normally would not reveal even to the prince. There are certain secrets that a king has that he won't even reveal to his child, his own child, because certain things that must remain only with the king. That's how private they are. This, a prince who shows such spectacular love for the king will even reveal those things. Ki afilu haben shehu mechapes b'gnaz yed malkah, even a prince who is permitted to go into the treasury rooms of the king, afal pikein still, yesh mekoymois shegam haben osir lichnois sham. We know that normally there are places where even the king's own child would be told, although you're the prince, although you're my son, certain places you just can't go. That's the way a kingdom operates. Hainu sheyesh hasogois, meaning, how does this apply to us in spiritual terms? Rabbi Nizal says there is a super high level of understanding of the greatness of Hashem, shegam haben einoy masigoisam, where even one who is in the category of a child to Hashem, meaning he's a big, big tzaddik whom Hashem loves tremendously, even him, he's not able to achieve such a high level of understanding of Hashem. Aval al yidei shehaben misalei kol chochmasai. But if the child throws away his intellect completely, his kavod completely, umashlich atzmoy la'avdus kanal, and he throws himself into the most servile deeds, as we spoke about before, al yidezeh, through that, oviv marachim olov, his father has pity on him, umegaleloi masheinoi nimsar afilu leben, and he reveals to him that which would normally not even be revealed to a son. Hainu shenizgaleloi, meaning that the king Hashem will reveal to such a person, Bechinas Tzadik Varaloi, Varosha Vetoivloi, the secret of Tzadik Varaloi, Rosha Vetoivloi, Shegam Moshe Bechayov Loihisigzois, where the Gemara says that even Moshe Rabbeinu during his lifetime was not able to achieve it. Now, what does Chayov refer to? Moichin. The brain is called Chayim. There's a pasuk, Hachochma techaye be'oleho, right? That wisdom is, so when we say Moshe Bechayev, we mean Moshe Rabbeinu, when he had his faculties, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was this Bar Elokim, this child of Hashem, Bechayev, he couldn't achieve this. But naturally, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he removed his brain, when he showed a willingness to roll in the mud for the sake of the covet of Hashem, to accept all the insults of the Jews, he was sent on a mission to take the Jews out of Golas, and things got worse, and the Jews started yelling at him and insulting him, and throughout the desert, yelling and insulting and insulting, and he was willing to accept it all for the kavod of Hashem. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu certainly at one point in time was zeicha to achieve this. And this, Rabbi Nizal says, is what could be achieved by every single Jew who is willing to go that far for the sake of serving Hashem. He's willing to do away completely with his own kavod, with his own intellect, with what his brain would lead him to do, or with what the world classifies as normal sometimes. Imagine he went to Israel and he spent half the day going to graves. Nothing better to do. and people would mock that, etc. People who don't understand the chashivus of a mitzvah, they don't understand what power a tzaddik has after his passing away and what could be achieved by going to his grave. The person would spend $1,500 to go to Russia, to go to the nuttiest country on this earth, go there to go to a grave of a tzaddik. To that extent, and Rabbi Nizal says, a person who shows that kind of willingness, he's given a revelation of the greatness of Hashem that supersedes anything which could be achieved by the biggest genius, by the biggest rabbi, the most learned person will not get to understand Hashem as well as one who shows this kind of attitude. The next part that we're going to have, Rabbi Nizal is going to prove everything he just said. He's going to show how it's all hinted to in a pasuk in Malachi.